All right, let me pray for us before we get started. Father, again, we're just thankful that you've gathered us together here this morning. We're thankful that you're in our midst and that you're going to speak to us today. And that you're going to speak to us on an issue that's very important. So Lord, open our hearts and our minds to hear what you have to say to us from your word. And as always, we take authority over the atmosphere in this room. And we bind any spirit that would cause a distraction in the name of Jesus. We bind any spirit that would cause confusion in the name of Jesus. We bind any spirit that would cause doubt in the name of Jesus. And we bind any spirit that would try to interfere with this message in the name of Jesus. Only the Holy Spirit may speak and move and have his way in this place here this morning. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to continue in our Seek First series. And last week, I had talked about the two realms of the kingdom. There's the physical realm, the physical reality, the things that we can touch, this stand, my Bible, paper, the chairs, and the things that happen to us in the physical realm. If I stub my toe, I feel physical pain in the physical realm. But then there's also the spirit realm that we talked about a lot last week and how Jesus is always calling us deeper into the spirit realm. Today, I want to talk about emotions and particularly fear, anxiety, and depression. But we have to understand that this message is completely tied back to last week's message. It's not coincidence that these two messages are together. Because everything that happens to us in our emotional realm, these things like fear, anxiety, and depression, they can happen to us in both realms. Okay? So I want to set some groundwork before we jump into these scripture passages that we're going to look at. With each of these issues that I want to deal with, like fear, anxiety, depression, they can originate in both realms, like I just mentioned, right? So for example, fear. There's a natural realm or a physical realm fear, right? I can stand on the edge of a cliff and look over and have a physical, natural realm fear. I can see a scary movie and have a natural, physical realm fear. I can be facing a big obstacle in my life, something that's really formidable, and I can have a physical realm fear of trying to get past this major obstacle. But these are all normal, and again, they're natural physical realm forms of fear. But these types of fear generally are short-lived. They're just a moment or a short season. Now, the same can be true of depression. I can have a season of depression in the physical realm because of loss or because of really sad news. I found out that a loved one passed away, and for a season, it puts me into a physical time of depression. I can even have a physiological problem in my body. There's a physical problem in my body that's causing depression because maybe my body's not producing the right hormones or the right enzymes or all of those things that are happening in my body. Something physically is not right, and it's causing depression. I can even have seasonal depression. So like, you know, in January, when we go 30 days without seeing sunshine, it causes a physical depression related to a physical issue, lack of sunlight. But again, these are all happening in the physical or the natural realm, and they're generally short-lived. The same can be said with anxiety. I can have a moment of anxiousness, a physical anxiousness before a big event. Public speaking is the number one fear. It's a greater fear than death. Believe it or not. So maybe you've been asked to speak, and so you're going to have a moment of anxiousness in the physical realm. One that I thought of is turbulence on a plane. I never used to be anxious about turbulence on a plane until a couple of years ago. I had a horrendous experience where we dropped thousands of feet and pitched wildly one way and then the other. We're coming out of our seats. Now a little bump on a plane, like a little anxious. But it's physical realm anxiousness related to a physical situation of the plane stability. These are both normal and natural, but again, they tend to be short-lived. My anxiousness goes away once the plane lands. So that's not what I want to talk about today, because we're just going to face that stuff. It's reality of living on this side of heaven. I want to talk about the fear, the anxiety, and the depression that originate and come from the spirit realm. These are the kinds of things, the ones that can't be explained. There's simply no explanation for this season of fear or depression or anxiety that I'm in. The ones that can't be treated. When you go to the doctors and they try everything under the sun and nothing helps, nothing makes it better. Or the ones that just linger too long. It seemed like it started as something in the natural realm, but time goes on, and it's still there, and it's not going away. It's just been here too long. The ones that come in the middle of the night. You wake up in the middle of the night, and suddenly there's this anxiousness or this depression, this fear that just came out of nowhere in the middle of the night. The ones that linger over a geographic location. I'm fine when I'm here, but when I'm here, I'm terrorized by fear or depression. But I can go back over here and it lifts. I want to talk about the ones that are irrational. There's just no way to explain it. It makes no sense. I have nothing to be fearful of, and yet I'm overcome with this fear. Or the ones that cause someone to lose control. All of a sudden, they literally cannot control their own physical body. These are the kinds and the ones that probably originate and are coming from the spirit realm. So let's look at this passage in 2 Timothy. We'll start with the issue of fear and then move to the others, and I'm going to give you a strategy and some tools to fight. So 2 Timothy, starting in verse 6, and I believe what I've got up here today is the New King James Version because it reads a little bit better. It says, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel of the power of God." Who's ready to sign up for some suffering? Paul is writing to Timothy to encourage him to remain faithful. Timothy has been going through a difficult time, and Paul is understanding this, and he's writing to him, encouraging him to remain faithful. This is what he says. Notice, he says, stir up the gifts that God has put in you. In you. He is referring to the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, the things that come with the Holy Spirit, and it's been in us. He says we need to stir it up. He's telling Timothy, stir it up. And so it's a command to all of us, stir this thing up. So we know it's the gifts of the Spirit that he's referring to because we don't need to stir up the Holy Spirit, but we do need to stir up our interaction with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, let's look at verse 7. He says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but rather of power and of love and of a sound mind." He's saying this in contrast to the last verse where he says, stir up the spirit that is in you. So he's already identified that there is a spirit that's in us. And now in contrast, he's saying that it is not fear. God has not given you a spirit of fear. The spirit and the gifts that God has given to us are not connected. Fear is not from God. But the important implication here, though, is fear is a spirit. If he says God did not give you a spirit of fear, that means fear is a spirit. We must see it and understand it as a spirit. Again, not all fear is from a spirit. Remember, there's physical realm, there's natural fear. Standing on the edge of a cliff, seeing a scary movie. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about this fear that comes from the spirit realm. It's actually a spirit attacking us. And we'll get into that. Now, I want to make some applications just out of this verse that we've seen so far, and then we'll finish the rest of the verse. Just so far, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Number one, fear does not come from God. Fear does not come from God. How many other times in scriptures do we see the command, do not fear? Every time God makes himself known to humanity, he always begins by saying, do not fear. Here he's telling us, don't give in to a spirit of fear. Fear does not come from God. Rather, Paul is telling Timothy, don't let your life and your ministry be ruled by a spirit of fear. Because of the situation that Timothy was in and the opposition that he was facing, a spirit of fear had presented itself to Timothy and was trying to attack him. And Paul was saying, don't give in to that ruling spirit of fear. So number one, fear does not come from God. Number two, fear is a spirit. This kind of fear originates in the spirit realm. This kind of fear can then therefore cause all kinds of havoc because we are unaware of its origins and we can't see it. So we're plagued by the spirit of fear, and all these things are happening in our life and we can't understand it because it's in the spirit realm. So what I want to do is I want to tune us into that spirit realm and how the spirit, and particularly the fear, can manifest itself in the spirit realm into our physical realm. So now let's ask the question, why would Paul be telling Timothy this? Why would he be saying, hey, fear is a spirit? Number three, a spirit of fear comes to paralyze. It comes to stop and it comes to prevent. This spirit of fear was trying to prevent Timothy from moving forward with the gospel. A spirit of fear will come against you and me to prevent us from moving forward in life. Even if we're not out on the street preaching, it will come just to prevent you from living the fullness of life that Jesus has for you. John 10:10, Jesus says, I have come that you would have life and have it to the full. The enemy's like, not on my watch. I'm going to come and I'm going to present myself as a spirit of fear to prevent you from having the fullness of life that Christ intended for you. Right? So the purpose that fear comes, the spirit of fear's purpose is to cause us to shrink back. It's to cause us to pull back and to be less than and to have less than what Jesus intends for us to have. But, moving on in the verse, the spirit that God gave us is one of power to press forward. The verse continues by saying this, and spirit is implied in the verse. It says, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So, verse 6, God put a spirit in you, fanned it into flames. Beginning of verse 7, but don't give in to the spirit of fear who will come to oppose you, because the spirit that's in you is one of love, power, and a sound mind. Do you see that? When fear comes against us, it often comes us in a way that makes us feel powerless, doesn't it? When that spirit realm fear comes against us, we become paralyzed almost, and it feels like we have no ability, no power. We're just kind of stuck. That's it. That's what the spirit of fear does. But the spirit that Jesus put in us is one of power. It's the Greek word dunamis. The antidote to fear is already in us. The antidote to fear is already in us in the power that comes from the Holy Spirit. Do you see that? Now, the verse continues and says of love. So the antidote to fear is also love. The love that God has for us, the love that he has put in us through the Spirit. It's a sure defense against fear. So as the spirit of fear tries to attack us, we know that his love is in us through the same spirit as a defense. Think about it this way. You're a kid, you're a little kid, and you get scared. Something really scares you. What do? You run to dad. You run to dad and you jump in his arms and you hold on. Why? Because you know dad's love will protect you. Or you run to mom. You run to mom and you jump and you hold on to mom. Because you know mom's love will protect you. It's instinctual as a kid. When you're scared, run to mom, run to dad. Their love will protect me. You don't think about, as a kid, you don't think about all the other things. They're bigger than me. They have skills. They're equipped. They know how to deal with this. No, as a kid, you just know mom and dad love me. I'm going to run there. Guess what? We get to do that when a spirit of fear attacks us. We just get to love. We just get to run to the love that God has already put in us. It's there as a defense. Amen? And then the verse ends with, and a sound mind. You see, when a spirit of fear comes and tries to attack us, it tries to make you think you're crazy. As people come to me for counseling, I hear that all the time. I think I'm losing my mind. No, you're not, because you've been given a sound mind. It's the spirit of fear that's causing you to think you're going crazy. The spirit that God put in us is one of a sound mind. So again, the antidote is already in us. The sound mind that I need has already been provided through the Holy Spirit and is already in me. Now, do you see how clever the enemy is here? He tries to steal what's already been given to us. He tries to steal what God has already put in us. God has already put in us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of sound mind. And then the spirit of fear shows up and says, yeah, I don't think so. I'm going to take that from you. But here's the good news. He can't take it from us unless we give it to him. It's our right to have the Holy Spirit's power in us. It's our right to have God's love in us. And it's our right to have a sound mind. Jesus paid for that right on the cross. The enemy can only steal those things from us if we give it to him. So I'm going to teach you how to fight in just a minute. Verse 8. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Here we see this command to not be ashamed of the gospel. But it's still tied to the last verse. The spirit of fear will often come in opposition to the gospel. Again, even if you're not out on the street preaching, the spirit of fear will come to prevent us from living our lives for the fullness of the glory of the Lord. Paul even encourages Timothy to join in the suffering, but not with fear. But do you see the connection here? When fear gets the better of us, its lasting symptom is often shame. That's why he says, do not be ashamed of the gospel, after he's talked about the spirit of fear. Because if you give in to the spirit of fear, its remaining symptomatic thing that hangs with you is shame. And it's a subtle little trick of the enemy, because after a while you become aware of the fear and you're like, what am I afraid of? And you'll actually begin to fight the fear, but the shame is so subtle it lingers. The shame is so subtle, it just kind of finds a way to work itself into the cracks of our soul and just hang out. But then each time it happens, it just builds and builds. So there's more and more shame. If you are feeling burdened with shame, its roots probably trace back to fear. So how do we deal with this? If you look at your outline now on the back of the bulletin, this is where the outline actually kicks in. As we think about fear, we must deal with it as a spirit. We must treat it as an actual entity. Somebody say amen. We must understand that the spirit of fear is an actual entity. It's a spirit being that is coming against us, and so we must treat it that way. It's an unwelcome guest. It is not from God. Now, how do we know when to treat a spirit? How do we know when to treat fear as if it's a spirit? Well, it never hurts to try this first. I would rather deal with a spirit that isn't there than ignore one that is there. So just try it first. I knew you'd have that question. I'd rather deal with a spirit that isn't there than ignore one that is there. So we deal with the spirit of fear using the authority that Christ has given us. Deal with it like you would an intruder in your home who has come to harm you or your family. And remember, the power that you need is already in you in the spirit. Okay? I do this all the time. People come to me and they're complaining about this stuff. And I say, okay, I'm going to show you how to do this. And I get a little graphic sometimes. Especially if it's a person that's a parent. It's okay. This spirit of fear is coming against you. What would you do if in the middle of the night you woke up and there was an armed intruder in your home and he was going into your daughter's bedroom? What would you do? Would you be like, oh, Mr. Intruder, please leave? Would you roll over and go back to sleep and just hope it had worked out for her? Gosh, I hope in the morning she's all right. What would you do? You'd go all Mama Bear or all Papa Bear on that guy, wouldn't you? I pity the fool that ever comes to my house. Let's do the same thing with the spirit of fear. I command you in the name of Jesus, get out now. You have no right. You have no authority. The Holy Spirit's power is in me. I use the blood of Jesus and the cross of Jesus to come against you. I break agreement with you. I do not believe in any of what you are saying to me. I break it off now in the name of Jesus. Get out! And say it out loud and say it like you mean it. Go all mama bear and papa bear on that spirit as if it were attacking one of your kids. It's an intruder. It has no right to be there. And you have the power in you to fight it. You don't need to call the Ghostbusters. Holy Spirit's already in you. Now, but remember, the enemy is persistent. This isn't going to be a one and done. You're not going to be able to do that just once and the enemy's like, okay, you won. The enemy will leave because he has to. But he'll wait, he'll look for the opportunity to come back. In fact, oftentimes when you do this for the first time, he'll double down. Oh, you think you got authority? Let me show you. And he'll double down. He'll come against you even harder, even more, to see if you still mean it. To see if you still believe it. To see if you can stand up and do it one more time. But as you do it, as you continue to stand in authority against these spirits, they will eventually back off because they know you get it. They'll still come and poke around at you from time to time. But they will back off. But you've got to treat it as if it were an intruder, an actual being. Don't pray it in your head. Pray it out loud. With authority. Mean it. All right. Here, let me give you a little bit of a strategy. I'm going to give you a four-part strategy for dealing with a spirit of fear. And it's the same strategy we'll use for the other spirits as well. Number one, just remember, it's not from God. When this spirit tries to come against you, the spirit of fear tries to come against you, just remember, it's not from God. Because God's just maybe taking me through a season of testing, and maybe God's just trying to build my character. No, those are all lies from the enemy. Spirit of fear, spirit of depression, spirit of anxiety, they're not from God. If he wants to build your character, he will take you into a desert season. And that's different. That's not fear, that's not depression, that's not anxiety. So remember, it's not from God. Don't think it's normal, and don't think that this is just the way life is. Somebody was explaining this the other day. They were explaining some situations that were going on in their life, and I'm like, that sounds like it's a spirit of, and I name this spirit. And the person's like, wow, I always just thought this is the way life was. It's not. It's not. God came to give you life and give it to the full. Number two. Trust the spirit and gift that God did put in you. He has already given you power, love, and a sound mind. The antidote to the spirits that you are facing are in you. Trust that. Trust that. It's in the cross. Number three, remember why fear comes. Remember why fear comes. It comes to prevent you from having the full life that God intended. Don't give the enemy what is yours. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He is coming to take from you what has already been promised and given to you. Don't let him. Number four, treat fear like an intruder. Don't be nice. Don't be passive. Don't just hope it'll go away. Be proactive. Call on Jesus. Amen? Okay. We're going to take the same basic approach with anxiety and depression. In fact, sometimes anxiety and depression are the symptoms of a spirit of fear. Duncan Williams, in his book, Binding the Strong Man, talks about how there can be ruling spirits. A spirit like fear, bitterness, or unforgiveness. These spirits then manifest themselves with many other smaller symptoms. It's like when you have a cold, right? When you have a cold, you've got a runny nose, maybe you're coughing, maybe you've got a little bit of a fever, a little bit of a headache. Those are all little symptoms, but none of those represent the real thing. The real thing is there's a bacterial infection in my body. It's manifesting itself through the runny nose and the cough. And so a ruling spirit will come and he will torment you and then give you symptoms. And we get too focused on the symptom. Anxiety is the number one thing here. All of a sudden, I'm having anxiousness. All that means is you have a runny nose. Don't focus on the anxiety. Focus on the infection. Okay? Duncan Williams also suggests in his book that spiritual depression is actually a symptom of the ruling spirit of bitterness. And so as you deal with bitterness, the depression goes away. But so often, all the focus is put on treating the depression. And the bitterness gets to have a field day. We deal with the spiritual root. Remember, I'm talking about spirit realm depression. When we deal with the spiritual root, bitterness, once that's dealt with, the depression will lift. Let's look at depression in a little bit more depth. Again, I'm talking about spirit realm depression, not physical realm. Oftentimes, again, there is a root. There's a root to this depression, like bitterness. I want to share a story with you, a story from Amy and I in our ministry. Many years ago, we were ministering to this woman who had suffered with depression, severe depression, her whole life. We were meeting in her home. We were praying for her. And all of a sudden, I get a vision of her as a small child, and I see, the Lord shows me, her being abused. And it wasn't even like a real dramatic abuse. What I had actually seen is that she was thrown outside of the home. The front door was closed, and a voice said, never come back. So as a small child, she's just rejected. She's thrown out and said, never come back. And so I brought up this vision that I had seen to this lady, and she starts to get very emotional. She says, yeah, I remember that now. That happened. I think it was her stepdad that had done it to her. I said, okay, well, the Lord brought this up for a reason. And so we pray into that. We invite Jesus into that. And we minister to that traumatic event that happened in her life. And then we broke off the spirit of depression that was connected to it. Afterwards, she had the most profound response. She said, those 10 minutes of prayer were more helpful than the last 35 years of counseling. Because they had been dealing with it in the physical realm, but it was a spiritual realm depression. Do you see that? And not every depression is rooted in the spirit realm. Some are in the physical realm. But when it's a spirit realm level of depression, you typically need some help. You need somebody to come in there and to partner with you who can see and ask the Lord what's going on, because those spirits will prevent you from seeing that. She couldn't remember that thing until I brought it up. So you need help, but then you can get rid of that spirit and it's gone. Spirit realm depression can also sometimes just be an attack in the moment. Just like you can have a moment of fear, you can have a moment of depression or a very short season of spirit realm depression to simply hold you back. I know many of you struggle with that, getting to church or coming to prayer nights. You shared that with me. Yeah, I was trying to get to church, I was trying to get the prayer night, and I just was overtaken, and just feeling down, just feeling blah, I just wanted to stay home. You know, all of these symptoms of depression, but it just came on in an instant. It's a spirit coming against you. I don't want her going to church. She might hear something good and get the fullness of God in her life. So how do we fight in those moments? A couple quick scriptures on these. Philippians 4:4. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. He's writing from prison. He's writing from prison, and there's very little hope of him getting out. He knows that he is probably going to die at the hands of the Romans. So he's got every right to be suffering from natural realm depression. I'm about to die, and I'm in a really terrible prison. Keep in mind, in the prisons there, they didn't feed you. You didn't get three meals a day. Outside people had to come bring you food or you starved to death. So he's got every right to have natural realm depression. But he sees this for what it is as he's writing to the church in Philippi. And he says, rejoice always. I say it again, rejoice. Which suggests that this is possible. It suggests that it is possible to always rejoice even when sitting in prison, about to die. Because he couldn't tell the church to do it if he wasn't in a place to do it himself. This is our way of overcoming those momentary spirit realm depressions. Rejoice. Honestly, seriously, when that moment of spirit realm depression comes on you and you start to rejoice, it's like you took a big punching glove and just punched him in the face. That's a big word for me, glove. Gloves. Right? When he comes at you with a moment of depression, punch him in the face with some rejoicing. Because you're acknowledging that your trust and faith in God is bigger than the lies that he's coming at you with. And you're believing that God himself is bigger than the lies that he's coming at you with. Just rejoice. Punch him in the face. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, be joyful always. I frequently do a message on joy where I build the biblical case that joy is our right as believers. You have no idea how much the Bible talks about joy. It's actually our right. And so if he comes at you with that momentary of spirit realm depression, tell him that joy is your right. Jesus died on the cross, so I have a right to be joyful. Buzz off. You don't have to be polite and pretty about it. When the spirit realm depression comes, treat it just like fear. Go through the same four steps that I just showed you, but insert depression. And your weapon is rejoicing and joy. Depression is not from the Lord. We have the right to overcome it with joy. Because in the spirit realm, he's already given us the tools to do it. Amen? Let's look at anxiousness for a little bit. Again, anxiousness will almost always have a ruling spirit. You can have just that moment of physical realm anxiousness, but spirit realm anxiousness almost always has a symptom. It's almost always a symptom of something bigger like fear, right? Look at Philippians 4:6. It's a pretty emphatic statement. Do not be anxious about anything. Why is my life dominated with anxiousness then? Again, he's running from prison. He has a right to be anxious. He's about to die. But he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Paul's command to not be anxious makes it pretty clear that my life should not be dominated by anxiousness. And here, one of the tools that he gives us is thanksgiving. We fight anxiousness with thanksgiving. It brings our attention back to God and what he has done and what he is capable of doing. Thanksgiving fights anxiousness in the spirit realm. If you are anxious, get this. If you are anxious, trace your steps back to a point where you weren't. And then figure out what got in the middle, what changed. Was there a lie that I believed? Remember, Satan only has two lies. Is God good? And who do you think you are? All saved in that. So somewhere you probably got tripped up on one of those two lies. If you're feeling anxious, trace your steps back. And somewhere the enemy probably came and said, is God really good? I don't think God's good. I think you're going to go broke this week. I think God has forgotten about you and your money's going to run out and you're going to go broke this week. And all of a sudden I'm anxious. Or the enemy comes out and says, I have no idea what you think you're doing. You're going to go speak to these people. You can't. What qualifies you to do this? You're nobody. You can't lead that prayer meeting. You're a nobody. You see, the enemy tripped, and now you're anxious about leading this prayer meeting. The enemy tripped you up by getting you to lose sight of the fact that I'm created in his image and he's redeemed me. I'm a child of God. I got this. So if you're finding yourself in those spirit realm anxious moments, just trace your steps backward into to the last moment you weren't anxious. And then where was the lie? Where was the thing that you believed that entered, that caused anxiousness to enter in? See, here's the thing. Anxiousness isn't from God, just like fear isn't. So if I'm in an anxious moment, I let it in. I opened a door somewhere and I let it in. So now I always got to go back, figure out where the door was, and close the door. Use the same four steps. Use those same four steps. Anxiousness is not from the Lord. Fight the same way. Often anxiousness can also be tied. Anxiousness is often tied to fear or scarcity. I won't have enough. And then I get anxious. But you're a child of God. You've already got enough. Now here's the problem with all of these. So we've just these three, fear, depression, anxiety, giving you some really simple tools. But here's the thing. When fear, anxiety, and depression come, they try to be your friend. They try to make themselves seem normal. They try to make themselves seem like they're going to be a source of comfort for you. I've had people, when you start to actually get to the point where you're going to deliver them of one of these spirits, they'll say something like, "But I can't imagine my life without it." Fear, anxiety, and depression, because they're a spirit, have convinced the person that they're their friend. And you need me. But they're not from God. They have to go. So as you begin to battle any one of these things, you've got to remember that the spirits that you're battling against are going to try to convince you that they're normal and that they're supposed to be there, that they're your friend. Tell them you don't need friends like that. Because you've got Jesus as your friend. Remember where they come from. They come from the spirit realm of hell, not the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And they are contrary to the word of God, right? Why would I need a spirit of anxiousness? Why would I need a spirit of fear? It's contrary to God. That's not a friend. Amen? Okay. I want to leave you with this. We've got this friend named Rick Bergen. Amy and I had the chance to travel with him last year in Mozambique, and he's a great guy. He's a full-time missionary to the Amazon in Brazil. He's lived in the Amazon jungle for 25 years, planting churches. And he sends us his weekly newsletter, and it's really pretty amazing, usually. And he wrote this. I've got a very brief version of it in your outline, and I'll read the whole thing and then explain it to you. He says, "I started keeping a journal on my phone called Grid Diary. One of the questions is, how are you feeling today? Over time, I am surprised at how often, almost every day, my answer is apprehensive. My reasons are as obvious to me as your reasons are to you. Still, Jesus promises abundance in all our circumstances." He quotes John 10:10, "I have come that you have life and have it to the full." Now remember, this guy Rick, he lives in the Amazon jungle. He sleeps in a hammock every night. He's a church planter in the jungle. "I have these three foundational beliefs," he says. "Anxiety and apprehension are rooted in fear and scarcity, the opposite of faith and abundance. Faith overcomes fear in the same way that light overcomes darkness. The stronger, brighter it is, the more it overcomes. Faith comes by hearing the word of God and by spending time with him." So out of that, he developed this morning routine of these four questions that I have on your outline. He says, "Every morning I ask myself these four questions," or I do these four things as part of my morning routine. Number one, I record how I'm feeling when I wake up. I answer five simple questions with one word or a very short answer. What did I do yesterday? What was my biggest win from yesterday? What am I grateful for? What do I need to move forward, and how am I feeling? Do you see how all that ties back to what I just talked about? Question two, or statement two, I spend quiet time with God simply being present, centering prayer. I sit quietly with God, not asking, not expecting, just being with him, and I include a form of Emmanuel prayer during this time. And I would encourage you to also note Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, and I'll talk about that in a minute. The third thing he says, I commit my worries, my hopes, and my dreams to him. And fourth, I feed my spirit on his word. I read through the Bible each year. This is about being preemptive. This is about listening. This is about looking at how we're feeling and how we are doing. Am I feeling anxious? Am I feeling fearful? That's what Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24 are. Examine me, Lord, and see if there be any anxious thought in me. That's a great little two verses to meditate on. But as I'm looking at my feelings, am I feeling anxious? Am I feeling fearful? Is there any depression there? What I'm doing is I'm looking for demonic probes. Because these emotions, fear, anxiety, depression, they're symptomatic of a spirit, right? And so if I'm feeling any of these things, it's the demons poking at me. Where can I get in? Where can I get in? I love how he starts this by saying, almost every morning he feels apprehensive. So every morning he gets up and the demons poke at him just a little bit. You still want to be a church planter in the jungle, buddy? You still want to go out in the Amazon and do this thing? But the goal is to catch all of these things before they become entrenched. I love this, and that's why I wanted to share this with you. So every morning, he's taking his spiritual temperature. How am I feeling? How am I doing? And then paying attention to those feelings and connecting them to the spirits that can lie behind them. So that every morning, you're taking your temperature and seeing if you need a spiritual aspirin. I'm feeling awful fearful today. What spirit is poking at me, and how can I preemptively stop it right now? Because if I don't, by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, now my whole life's consumed with fear. And my day's a shipwreck. Do you see that? All right, here's your homework. Your homework, and this one's not super easy. Develop a routine of asking how you are doing. Taking Psalm 139... verses 23 and 24, spending some time with the Lord and asking, developing a routine of asking, how am I doing? Again, it's a preemptive way to stop the attacks of the enemy because your emotions are telling you what's happening in the spirit realm. Now, here's the thing. All of these issues take time to develop. Right? The enemy will come with just a little bit of fear, just a little bit of anxiety. But if we don't catch it, if we don't nip it in the bud, before long, it's a huge, full-blown thing and you're a hot mess. This daily routine helps prevent those things from becoming a full-blown thing. Every day, examining my emotions to see where the spirits are tormenting me. Is that clear? If you're already in a bad place, we can help you. You can use the tools, but we can also do ministry with you to help you get to a better place. But this thing of developing this daily routine helps keep you from getting to the point where it's a hot mess. Amen? Look at that, I finished early. All right. Alana and Arissa, come bail me out.